16th verse. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now he's mentioning here the Spirit of truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he, I'm accepting this as a person, he, he shall not speak of himself. Pronoun he and himself. But he shall take of mine. I believe that would refer, Jesus is speaking of himself here. He shall take of mine and show it to you. He shall take of the Father and show it to you. Now the Spirit of truth is truth. That places truth above dogma and opinion and custom. It's above opinion, custom. It is an independent truth of one. He won't speak of himself, but of the Father. There's three here is witnessing here this truth. Now, you think before Jesus came, the Jews seemed to had a way of living, kind of custom under the law. They kind of had a custom, as it's Jesus said, you have heard that it is said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But he lifted up a teaching that's above this. But he said, but I say unto you, resist not evil. I say unto you, if you were taken to court, take your cloak away from me, give me your coat also. If you are compelled to go a mile, volunteer and go with them twain. Now Jesus' teaching elevated a little above what the Jews was customary used to. Above it. And when it comes down to forgiving, Peter asked the question, how often, I believe it's Peter, shall I forgive my brother trespasses? Seven times Jesus elevated above that. I tell you, not just seven times, but seven times 70. The trespass against you, you forgive him. And you'll find, frankly, the teaching that they were customary to. Jesus' teaching just elevated a little above that. I believe Peter realized that he needed something to come up to Jesus' teaching. He said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, after Jesus left, he said, I won't leave you comfortless, but I'll send a comfort. And he spake of he shall guide you into all truth. Now, it couldn't be safe now. Jesus had been with them a while and taught them some things. Wouldn't be safe now for them to take a Bible or a scroll or whatever they had at this time and just follow this to the best of their knowledge. They still needed a guide, a teacher, to guide them. And this teacher was called the Spirit of Truth. He will guide you into all truth. And we still live in this dispensation, Holy Ghost dispensation. And we too need this guide to guide into all truth. Guide kind of signifies somebody blind or somebody doesn't know the way, know his way. And in one sense, we are. We are lost on the way to heaven without a guide. Well, somebody said, well, just get your Bible. It tells you where to go. Yes, but it directs us to a guide. And we need the guide. I like guides when I'm going to travel the highways. I know I can stop in some filling station and they can point me out. But I kind of get it all mixed up after I go so far. That's what he did say. But I can kind of pull off in the shade or someplace. Just stop in the motel and just look over the guide. If I get mixed up, I can look over the guide. Well, now, the Bible, in one sense, is a guide. Yes. But he speaks of a person as a guide. He, in other words, the Bible itself wouldn't be enough guide. It's needful that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. When he shall come, he shall guide you in all truth. And I say the Spirit of Truth is that's above customs and above even our opinion. It really is the opinion of God that he makes known unto us. He makes known to us what God wants of us. And he's a safe guy. And we each one need him. Now, for an example, it doesn't matter how saintly you are, and how well you teach and train your children. Teach them about the Lord. They may come up trying to practice to be saints, but they can't be yet. They first have to be awake from the Spirit of Truth. And the work of the Spirit of Truth, he said, when he come, he shall prove the world of sin. In other words, he'll convict. I mean, you can't educate your child into salvation. He has to be convicted, convinced from the Spirit of Truth. So it would have to take place. And then after this takes place, then something else has to take place. After this conviction, it's possible that he could not heed, not follow the conviction. It's possible that he could say, well, now, although not still, he hasn't followed. It's possible that he or she could ask you, well, am I saved now? And yeah, I believe you're saved now. See, you're living pretty good. But that isn't it. For him to really know and be convinced that he's saved, the Spirit of Truth has to witness to his spirit that he is a child of God. This has to be done. This is something we can't educate, I say, our children into. We can't educate ourselves into this. I hear some people say, well, I've always been a pretty good person. I've never been this, never been that. But that's not enough yet. Somewhere in life, the Spirit of Truth has to convict you or convince you. Godless sorrow have to take place. There has to be a regret somewhere that you sinned against God. Enough that you will cry out, forgive me. Now there is a way we can justify our sins, but when we follow the example of the Spirit of Truth, God justifies us. Now when the two men went up to pray, one Pharisee and one the publican, Pharisee stood and he prayed thus, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. He just kind of prayed an exalted prayer and lifting himself up before God and commending himself and so on. But the scripture said the publican just smote himself on the breast and said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And said, this man went down to his house justified rather than other. Now, there is such a thing as we can receive justification maybe from ourselves or from somebody else. But if you want to be justified, really be justified, you need that you can receive from God. Sure. Then you're justified. The Spirit of God witnessing to your spirit that you're a child of God. That's solid. He can't lie. He can't make a mistake. And you feel secure when he witnesses to it. It doesn't leave any question at all. It's so. Now that's just the starting of a saved life. It takes God to start it. It takes the Spirit of truth to start a saved life. And then it takes Him all the way. It's possible that the Spirit of truth has started some saved lives. But yet, the very opinion of the individual and the opinion of others has compromised less than what the Spirit of truth wants. This is dangerous. And people justify themselves from good works, attending church, Sunday school, keeping the work of the Lord going, they say. But a work of the Lord is supposed to be a work of the Lord conducted from the Spirit of truth. Why teach others and teach not thyself? Can you teach others? You need the Spirit of truth. You need the second work of grace, and teach not yourself. You rejected yourself. How can this be done? I'm minded of a lady once. She was, I think if I remember right, I think, you know, maybe you'll accept this. You know, women don't tell their age much. But I just kind of guess she's must have been about 6 to 7, 8. She was Sister Polk's friend, and Sister Polk had told about me and asked if she'd talk with me. She's liking to make plans to go across the water. She just desired to do missionary work. Get in the missionary field. So she came over, she and Sister Polk one night, and we talked with her. And she told me about how she just wanted to go work for the Lord. Just get out of the missionary. So I began to ask her a few questions concerning her salvation. She told me that she believed the Lord saved her one time. Well, that sounded pretty good to me. And I asked her concerning dedicating a life for God, receiving of the Holy Spirit, being sanctified. She said, "No, I was always afraid of that. Fred, God may tell me something to do that I wouldn't want to do." See what I mean? Now, a lot of people are afraid of that. You know that? They willing to do any kind of good work you can think about. Any kind of religious work you may need. But dedicate myself to Him, and I'm not my own anymore? I don't know about that. But the Spirit of the truth calls for this. For us to do this. The same Spirit of truth that convicts you of a sin and you repent of it and get saved, the same Spirit of truth will convict you further down your life as you live saved to dedicate your life for sanctification. The same Spirit of truth will do this. And this is a place right here that I fear a lot of people back up. But they don't quit their religious works, religious duties. So this is what this woman wanted to do. She wanted to go in the missionary field. So I asked her, I said, "Now you're actually telling me that you don't have this and it's needed. The Bible says it doesn't." She said, "Yes, I know that. I said, what do you plan to do? You get over there. Well, I want to have people to seek the Lord. And I said, well, that sounds good. Well, what about teaching them to seek the Holy Spirit too? Well, she says, I can teach that. That's in the Bible. See? But I don't think we just fully qualified to teach this to others if we don't have it ourselves. But a lot of people during it, you know that? They pay for it, they're supposed to do this. They teach it in a sense as a custom. I've heard this all my life, that you should have it. You know, among us, we've heard this teaching. See? And they teach it as a custom. Now that he that teaches a man shouldn't kill, does thy feel. Now, we notice that the Spirit of truth, whom the world, he says, cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of truth. And we have other scriptures. We know that this surely must be needful because it's taught too many places. In John 15 and 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Who? The Spirit of truth. He'll testify for me. He'll take a mind and he'll show it to you. This is a person. This is definitely a need. In 1 John 4 and 6, it says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. The Spirit of truth surely must be true. I remember when Jesus before Pilate, Pilate asked him, what is truth? What is truth? I believe Jesus said that he at one place, he came to bear witness. He's going to witness the truth. One place it said, God's word is truth. Another place it says, that I am the truth and the life. No man come unto me but by my Father. And truth is something needed. I hear people say sometimes, well, I was reared up in the truth. I don't know about that. You might have been reared up in a family where some had the truth. He said, I was just reared up in the truth. Now, that was from Jews, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, those that believe on it. He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's possible you can be reared up, and your mother and father both be sanctified. Have the Spirit of truth, and you not know it. He said, the world can't receive it. See? So then you were reared up in a family that had the truth. But you wasn't right in the truth. truth is something that makes free. And we need to be free. All of us need to be free. Why, Paul said to some disciples, he says, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made thee free. And be not entangled again the yoke of bondage. Now, to me, if you take the dictionary, you'll find the word free, it'll say liberty. And you take the word liberty, it'll speak of being free. But to me, I can just divide this up a little bit. Now, you may have had a bird in the cage for a year, and you may free him of this cage. But if you crop his wings, he doesn't have liberty. See? He doesn't have liberty. Now we can be free. And at the same time, by rejecting and refusing to go on to perfection, it can cut off our liberty. We can crop our wings in the Lord. We just do not have the liberty. We do not, if something about it, it destroys freedom. We need freedom. We need freedom, and we need liberty too. The Holy Spirit not only makes us free, but it gives us liberty. It sets us at liberty. And you find that it's possible that this can happen. One can actually be set free. One can actually be set at liberty. And yet they can be brought back under bondage. That's what happened to these in Galatians. They were brought back under bondage under teaching of the law. Yet they were set at liberty by grace. But they were brought back under bondage of the teaching of the law. Whether we know it or not, or whether we thought of it or not, our own child could see God and really be free. Really be saved. Really have truth. Well, we ourselves could bring this child back under bondage above opinion of how a Christian should live.
Yes.
You know what I can be done?
Yes.
Just above opinion of how a Christian should live. See? I think you can be a good person. But, you know... I want you to go so far, no more. Now, it's such a thing that you can drive a car up and down the road. You can drive a truck up and down the road. And you're actually driving it. But the freedom is cut off. I remember I rented a truck one time to move my daughter. And I never read one before. I noticed I'd get the thing up to about 45 miles an hour, and then that speed on the hand beginning to wave a little bit. That's further go. Unless you're going down the hill, see. Yeah, that speed on the hand wouldn't go no farther, you know, but you actually rolling a little faster. Or I thought, well, what's the matter with this thing? Won't they run no faster than this? See? Come to find out they had a gun on them. And that's just all it was allowed to go. Well, this man did this on purpose. He did this, you know, to protect, you know, people from old speedness. It was more powerful than that, but he wanted to be held down. Salvation is something you can't hold down. You just can't do it. You can't put a gun on one's experience. You just can't do it. See? If you do, you're going to destroy something. Now when it comes to cars and trucks, we can do it. Now this gun to cut down on the RPM, see? It just cut down on it. I believe it's possible that we would be honest. That even this truth, we just wait for no governor to be put there. Yeah. Just so high in the world. Yeah. But you can't do this with this truth. There can't be no governor. It even tells us to quench not the spirit. We can't do it. God controls the spirit of truth. He's the one holding control. And we can't do it. The spirit of truth, if you let him govern the church, govern every congregation, I'm sure he would work his sole purpose that he means for that congregation to work wherever it is. Wherever they preside. I'm sure he would do this. But you'll find that people may well say, yes, I know the Bible says that, but. See? Well, now, what was that but there? What a phrase here, see? But! It's just going to read out like that. Now, for example, ordinary people that's used to medicine, if it's a headache, he gets along some aspirin, and then just aspirin eases. See? So the Pope used to tell me, she'd say, Brother Paul says, I know, and I can just take aspirin like this and just knock that man out right now. See? There's custom like this in the world. But the Spirit of Truth says, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. This is the truth now, as he says this, guessing this. The prayer of faith, God's word says this, doesn't it? The spirit of truth witnesses to this, that this is the way to do it. But I know it's just a quick, simple way to get it done. Yes, but what about the spirit of truth? See? What about that? Of course, on my part, it wasn't hard for me to give up medicine because I never liked it anyway. Those long capsules, it's hard for me to swallow this thing, not a boy. I remember quite well, we had a porch and we had an old wooden bucket and a deep well. My grandmother would send me out on the porch to swallow it. I hated to take medicine. I'd just almost rather take a woman. Well, when she sent me out on the porch, well, that'd give me a choice. And she'd say, well, you can drink it, you can swallow it if you want it, so you may die. I'd just say, well, I'm taking a chance on dying. And that's your question. That's the way I do it. Well, you see, there was no problem for me to give it up because I just didn't like it. Well, what I'm getting at, you see, isn't it possible that an individual can just elevate down from the spirit of truth of what he would like for you and the way he would really help you? If one individual can do this, then a group can do it, can't they? See? And then you can wind up, a group can wind up, elevate it down below the teaching of the Spirit of Truth. Yet, if they do it, they wouldn't say they didn't have the truth. They still say they have the truth. But we better think a little bit. Jesus said he came to bear witness to the truth. Is it anything that you would read in the Bible or anything you would decide to do of yourself? Would you be willing to ask Jesus whether you should do it or not? And just take what he says and do it? Oh, you would just rather not ask him. You'd just rather go ahead and, you know. Somebody said, well, if I don't have no light on it, I can get by with it anyhow. But if he said no, I don't know. But we need him, don't we? The Spirit of Truth said he shall guide thee in all truth. It doesn't make any difference how plain a thing, how simple a thing may look to us. That is sufficient. We need the Spirit of Truth. Amen. Now, we'll find that. What is he to do? In the 14th chapter of John, he said he's to abide with us forever. What else is he supposed to do? He brings to our remembrance Christ's words. He testifies concerning Christ. He convicts the world of sin. And he guides into all truth. Do that too, see. It's possible that you and I can lose our guide. We can just be so determined to settle for the way that we want to do the thing, we can just lose our guide. And I'm sure this has happened to some people. They lose their guide, see. But yeah, we need a guide. We need the Spirit of Truth to guide us.
That's so.
Into all truth. See? It's possible that we can be where the truth is preached and still we reject truth. Because, I'd rather have it this way. But God would rather it be the other way. But I'm gonna continue to be a good person. See? I'm gonna continue to be a real 100% religious person. I'm gonna be pious in every way. And some things I'm gonna be so strict in on because I believe if I do it, everybody else should do it. I'm gonna be strict on that. You know, back years ago, about 20 years ago, I kind of learned my congregation. There are certain things I know that if I preach on, if somebody in that congregation could almost just shout, "Oh, that's the truth." See? One person along that line. Then I could go on another line, that person would be just almost solid. Yeah. And somebody said, "Oh, the truth." Maybe we talk about dressing. Well, somebody said, "Oh, the truth." Well, all right, I'm talking about the spirit of truth. Now, God, you need him. God, you're into all truth. Will you say amen to this? See? Will you say this is needed too? Sure it's needed. They're compromising less than the spirit of truth, and it's God's. It's dangerous. It's seriously dangerous. Now, would it come down to conviction? You'll find when God convicts a soul, he doesn't just convict him to the extent he got to get saved and he can't help himself. God don't do that. He leaves a space right in there for choice of the individual seed. Because we're saved by choice, not God make us good. Seem like the pressure come on and I'm really convicted, but he'll let up a little bit. He'll leave a place, room there for you for choice. See? And the same way when it comes down to receiving the Holy Ghost. God won't just take a saved life and just push it up into holiness and accepting and receiving the Holy Spirit. But he'll leave a place there for choice. He'll give you conviction that you need it, see. But he'll leave a place, you know, for choice. Well, right there, that's why some people may pray, "Oh, Lord, whatever I need, I know you know what's best for me. If I don't know and don't see no one accept it, you just make me have it." Well, God don't do that. God sends his truth, but he does a way. He just don't pour it in us. He leaves us privilege to take it. God don't do us like God used to know my folks used to do a sick mule, a horse. Just take his head, you know, and have a fork in a tree and a rope tied on him somewhere and just keep pulling and get his head, you know, up. And then put that ball in the side of his mouth, see? Sometimes the old mule is just kind of smart. He just wouldn't even swallow, I guess. Anybody say smart? Well, some fellow walk up and hit him on the throat, you know, just bang on the throat. Pretty soon you had to go in. Well, God don't do you like that. Some people seem like they think, "Well, I'd like for him to do me like that," but he won't. He won't just pour it into you. He understands it before you and give you a choice here, see. See? You can drink if you want to, see. That's fair, isn't it? Well, now this happens in life. Many people in life. I don't know. I can go right up here, I guess. Need to be up there. Now, he's going through life. You're just kind of traveling through life, see. Something like this. Voila. Now, when you get here, it takes on the form of, see.
to that end. All right. Now, on this dead end, we got a road leading this way and a road leading that way. We got two ways here. I believe the point put it like this. Even after we're saved, we come to a place where two ways part. One either to the land of Canaan, and the other to a hardened heart. And that's exactly what happens to people. When people that are really saved and come down to a place where they, God convicts them of sanctification, and if they will, they refuse. And choose rather to come this way than to go this way. Well then, they just follow the road to a hardened heart. That's what they do. It doesn't leave you the same thing. It just does not. Then you can go through life and say, if I had a conviction to do this and do that, I would. No. If you notice how the scripture reads, it says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Well, now why do it say harden not your heart? Because it realized if you won't heed it, your heart's going to get hardened. It just don't leave you the same thing. Now then, if I had choice myself, I'm thinking of myself now. If I had choice of handling and teaching and instructing people, I would rather have the one that's just got saved and he hasn't got the conviction of the Holy Spirit yet than to have that one that has come up there and will reject and has a hard heart. See? Sometimes we do this. Sometimes, in regards to how old a person gets, we still call them a baby. Well, I don't know if I'm going to nurse babies and fix ball for babies. I believe I'd rather take a young one than you. Because these old babies can get where they can just teach you, you know. Just won't accept things, see. Dear ones, you know what the church needs? Do you know what every one of us needs that's in the church? We need to be sanctified. We need this after we get saved. We need this. This is the Bible truth. It's that we need the Spirit of truth. All of us need it. Every one of us need it. Now there is congregation that's governed by the opinion of men, see. Definitely so. But the Church of God isn't. It isn't governed by that. The Spirit of truth is the head of it. The Spirit of truth is the dictator. He's head of it. And we all have to be subject to the Spirit of truth. Now this definitely is it. But you know what we'll do? Now it doesn't make any difference. Now we're going to call this beginning. We're going to call him, and he just got saved tonight. We're going to call him a little saint. There's nothing wrong with that, is it? And then this person that come up here and reject the truth, we still call him a saint. See? We still call him a saint. Well, I have to say, there's nothing wrong with that because I'm guilty of that. And whenever we speak of saints, well, we just speak of just, it's broad, you know, in a broad term. But the truth of the matter, now, if God would come, and this little fellow just got saved tonight, he's on his way to heaven. All right. But this person that's cut off down here with a hardened heart, see, when you sing the song, when the saints go marching in, he won't be in that number. Because he's off down here with a hardened heart, see. He won't be in that number. When the saints start marching in, he won't be in that number. But this one will. He's in the number. He's living up to the conviction of the Spirit of truth. And the reason why he haven't received the Holy Ghost, maybe he doesn't know that whether they'll be in or not. Or maybe he hasn't been convicted of it or not. It's to spare for every person to have a conviction of getting saved and also a conviction of receiving the Holy Ghost. I don't believe in this. If a person gets saved here, like out of this morning, or just hammer on when you blow into conviction, I don't believe in that. But I believe this. If the truth go forth, why this person feel a conviction, a need to go. I don't believe in this pushing a person into something. I believe you need a conviction for the need. And then he realized what he's doing. This is what we need. We need souls born in the kingdom of God. We need that. That's true. But we also need souls to go to perfection. I believe in the morning time, that was the church, the whole church, all of them had received the Holy Ghost. I believe it was.
Yes.
All of them had received it.
They were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
All of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. Brother, that was something. You know that? 5,000 people and all of them filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't you know that would be a wonderful thing if we could just say every congregation in California and Oregon is filled with the Holy Ghost? Don't you know that wouldn't be a lot of things that gone that do go? The Spirit of Truth would be operating and taking care of these congregations. That's what's needed. When he comes, he'll guide you in all truth. He'll take a mind and he'll show it to you. This is just as much truth as getting saved. And we need to obey it. To reject this and willfully turn it down, it just doesn't leave us in the same place. It heads us to a hardened heart. When people are filled with the Holy Ghost, they're easy to handle. They don't manifest so much trouble. You won't see something like a little boy, well, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Like that, see. They love to obey all the Spirit to say. You know that? They do. They feel with the Holy Ghost. And this is what's needed. We got the form. I mean, what I'm trying to say, we got the truth. There's no question about it. We got the truth. We teach it like the Bible says, but we all need it. See? And if we can get it all in us, see. He said he won't just be with you, he'll be in you. And he'll guide you into all truth. Sister Polk said to me one time, said, Brother Trotter, said, if I can find a congregation among the saints where they're all just in this truth and up to your teaching, that's the congregation I want to be in. So I told her, I said, Sister, I wouldn't blame you. I'd like to be in that one myself. But I'm afraid you won't find it. See? I haven't found one yet. I found this. It doesn't matter how small the congregation is. I don't know, there's some difference. If you get six, it's three of them want to go this way and three want to go the other. There's always some difference. It's just something I look like, no matter how small. But dear ones, we need the Holy Spirit. Let's admit facts. We need it. And if we are trying to go to heaven without it, you're making a big mistake. It's like a blind man trying to cross the street without his guide dog. Because he may be a little safer than you. He just might make it if he's got his white, you know, stick. People might recognize him. If the blind man needs a guide, you need a guide. And I need a God. And let us admit facts and let us just make up our mind. I'm going God's way because I don't know no other way I can go. But God's way. I'm going to take God's way because I don't know any other way. Disciples asked Jesus, says, how can we go where you or follow you and when we don't know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. May the Lord help us to think along these lines. Even in this meeting, I've gotten help myself. And I don't want to lose what I've got in this meeting. I want to abide in the truth. I don't want not one time reject truth. A fair way may seem to show all right, and there's a lot of them, you know that. But I don't want to one time to just turn down truth. Reject, I don't do that. That's dangerous. So if you by some reason compromise, and maybe you didn't officially do it yourself, maybe somebody else just kind of helped you do it. If you by some reason have put a governor on your expense, you know, so high, no high. So much humility, no more. See. It doesn't work like that. We just either have to go all the way, or we just can't make it. We have to go God's way. So may the Lord bless us each one and take along these lines. Sisters, meeting is coming to a close. You know, I would just be glad if all of us could leave here saved and sanctified, just dedicated to live for God from here on out. Wouldn't this be worth this meeting?
wouldn't this be worth it?
Sure.
And then we don't stump, then the next meeting in Fresno, everybody in that congregation do that. Los Angeles, everybody in that congregation do that. Just follow up the congregation of the saints. But you know, pretty soon we'd have something. Brother, listen, we would have something. Wish everyone would. We would have something wonderful. Practical Holy Ghost living. Pray for me.